Good morning. This meeting is being recorded. It's 8:30 a.m. on Tuesday, June 27th. Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy regular session board meeting. Dr. King, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of board members and staff.
Thank you, Judy. Good morning, everyone. I'm calling to order the regular session meeting for June 27th, 2023 for the Arizona Physical Therapy Board.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Here.
Mr. Leone.
Here.
Dr. Hike.
Here.
Mr. Greer. Mr. Barton. Mr. Barton joined a moment ago.
He's on, he's just muted.
Is he muted? Do you see him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, I see him. Josh, you're muted. We'll roll call staff and then come back to you. Ms. Cardoza?
Okay. I think I have got it fixed.
There you are.
But I've got really bad internet, so if the rest of the board doesn't mind, I think I'll turn off my video and try to just have visual.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or just have audio. Does that work for everybody?
Yes. Thanks, Josh. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I'm present, Judy.
Okay. Thank you, Veronica. Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And I am Judy Chepius, and Mr. Harris is also present. So Mr. Barton is here. Mr. Greer is absent. Make a note on the record, please.
Yep.
Dr. King, the meeting is yours.
Thank you. The first item that we have before us is review and approval of the meeting minutes for the May 23rd, 2023 regular session. Do any of the members have any edits or concerns or questions about the minutes? Okay, hearing none, I make a motion that we approve the regular session meeting minutes for May 23rd, 2023.
Second.
All right, Judy, call the vote, please.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the regular session meeting minutes from May 23rd, 2023. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
I believe I was absent from this meeting, so I will stand.
Thank you.
That motion passes.
Great, thank you. Next item is a review and approval of the executive session A meeting minutes from May 23rd, 2023. Any corrections?
I move to approve the executive session minutes.
Second.
Who did the second?
Bustillo.
Karen.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the executive session meeting minutes from May 23rd, 2023. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Again, I will abstain because I was absent.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, do I put down absent or abstained?
Abstained.
Abstained.
Thank you.
That motion passes.
Great, thank you. The next item on our agenda is four applications for licensure and certification requests for physical therapist applications requesting an ADA accommodation. First on our agenda is Richard Flores. Mr. Flores, are you on the call?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the meeting. Are you okay to answer some questions if board members have questions about your application?
Yes, that's fine.
Great. Okay, thanks. So Mr. Flores has applied and requested for extra time and a separate room, as well as snacks and insulin. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Board members, any questions for Mr. Flores as you consider his request?
Mr. Flores, this is Mr. Barton. I am, I'm trying to understand your particular accommodation. Can you explain to me how the extra or the extra time is necessary? Is that just for the time that you're going to need to go out and handle the medical issue you described?
The extra time was considered due to, in the case of an emergency of hypoglycemia or hyperglycemia, where I need to consume a snack or inject insulin, given time that won't be taken away from me for the exam.
Okay. And I guess my question is, again, because we're talking about your medical issues, if it is something that you're uncomfortable with talking about in public, please let us know, and we'll be happy to move you over to an executive session. But I just wanted to know, kind of like, is that a frequent occurrence for you, that you anticipate having a need for this?
No, it's just more like a precautionary stance. I mean, prior to the exam that morning of, you know, I'll take the necessary precautions and make sure my blood sugars are stable and level and, you know, are okay for the entirety of the exam.
Okay. Let me ask you this then. Does the diabetes and this necessity for insulin, how does it affect it kind of your significant life activities, your normal life activities, like going to the store, kind of going to work, those kind of things? Do you need any additional accommodation?
I've always had accommodations, whether I exercise them or not. I try not to. I try not to take advantage of the system. You know, sometimes I, you know, yes, I do need to inject some insulin because maybe I do feel, you know, like I'm fatigued or I'm lacking the concentration, you know, to perform the task at hand due to hyperglycemia, or in a more graver case of, you know, a hypoglycemic action that needs immediate attention. You know, that is something that causes me to divert away from probably the task at hand to get, you know, my sugar levels back up to par. So, you know, yes, that does take time away, you know, from the task that's being performed at times. It's usually I've never thankfully had, you know, very serious emergencies where, you know, I've need to have attention, but, you know, I'm just usually very proactive with, you know, monitoring my blood levels.
Okay. And that takes a little bit of time out of your kind of whatever activity you're doing to make sure that you are ready and able to respond to any kind of changes.
Yeah. So typically, okay. You know, for example, if I can just give you a case, you know, it's the rule of 15. You know, if you're having a hypoglycemic episode, you know, it's the rule of 15 where giving yourself carbohydrates of 15 grams, you know, and then waiting about 15 minutes to restabilize your blood sugar levels. And so, you know, that's why there is the case of increasing, you know, having that additional time in the event that something was to happen where I need to correct myself and wait, you know, to make sure that things are leveled. Because hypoglycemic episodes can be pretty scary if you've never seen one, so.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate it, Mr. Flores. That is all the questions that I have.
Mr. Flores, are you still comfortable answering questions about your medical situation, or would you like us to move into executive session?
No, I'm fine with it if it's okay. The job done.
Okay. Quick question. I think I read in your application that you have a pump. Can you dose from the pump, or do you actually have to get up and have an injection?
I use insulin injection pens, just like that. I actually have it right here on my desk today for you. So that's how I administer my insulin. What I do actually have on me is a Dexcom G6 continuous glucose monitor, a CGM. And so what that is that pretty much brings my blood sugars to my phone here via Bluetooth. And so that is what's attached to me physically all the time is that monitor.
Mm-hmm. How were you accommodated in your clinicals?
Usually I was accommodated, you know, it was an open conversation. My university had the paperwork on file. But usually, you know, it was a conversation that I was always forthcoming with my clinical instructor of what, you know, condition I had. And, you know, if something was to happen, you know, just having that conversation pretty much. And it was on file usually with the hospital or the clinic that I was, you know, performing my rotations at.
Did you have any experiences where you needed to step out of patient care to dose or take care of yourself?
No, thankfully not.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or discussion? Okay, thank you. Formers, I'm a little bit struggling with this a smidge because I think it's just a just in case question. And it sounds like that his diabetes is fairly well managed. And he doesn't have a lot of emergencies. So certainly we wouldn't want him to have one in the moment, but I also am not sure giving him time and a half just in case he has one is right either. So I'm leaning on you for your thoughts or experiences in the past.
I'm not sure that we would need like time and a half exactly. If you could add like an additional hour perhaps, as opposed to, you know, a full half of the time. Mm-hmm. So
Karen.
That, you know, a possible episode could be averted.
Karen.
That, yeah.
There's only either time and a half or double time. They won't cut it in half.
Fair enough. Thank you. But if he finishes the exam within whatever time, then he's free to leave, right? I mean.
Correct.
Okay.
I think the other issue that comes up too is if he monitors his blood glucose from his phone, he's going to need his phone with him in the test, and that's usually not something that they permit.
Good point, Giovanni. They do not permit any phones in that testing center.
Yeah.
Mr. Flores, are there any other ways that you can monitor your blood sugar without your phone? Because they won't let your phone go in.
Only by finger prick, you know, the old classic way that usually do it. Usually in prior exams, I've usually just had my phone off on airplane mode and have an instructor there to monitor, make sure I'm not going through it or anything, but that's usually what's been done in the past.
Veronica, is there an option for a chaperone or monitor?
Not a constant and consistent because, you know, it's everybody that they're monitoring. But yeah, that is correct. Phones have to go in a locker.
Yeah. I wonder if we need to contact, I'm not sure we can actually make this decision today because I don't know that we know all of his options. If he only monitors by his phone or a finger prick, that's going to take time and then we won't do it unless he's feeling like he needs to. And then he's going to need time to do that, which is not near as fast as, right, monitoring on his phone. It's going to be a moment and then a prick and then what do I do? So, I'm wondering what ProMetric has done in the past for people who have a medical condition that needs to be continuously monitored. So I'm wondering if we could get with them and find out before we make a decision. What are your thoughts? Are you hoping to test Mr. Flores in July?
Yes, I want to be testing in July, right?
Okay.
This is Mr. Barton. So, my inclination is if Mr. Flores can do a test via a prick, I know that'll take extra time, but if we're allowing him time and a half, I think that'll be sufficient to do that. And so if, you know, I'm looking at his request here, he's asking for time and a half. He's asking for a snack and insulin at the desk. Like, I think if we give, if we provide those accommodations to them, I think this is something that can probably be managed throughout the test. So that's my inclination. I agree with what it sounds like the rest of the board is thinking. I'm inclined to say that he needs some kind of accommodation. And I think, that these accommodations probably meet that, concern. Even if the phone's not available, I think the time and a half will allow him sufficient time to go in and to monitor that glucose if there is a need. So that's kind of my perspective. And that would allow him to test in July, which I think would be preferable to Mr. Flores.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was thinking maybe it was a special board meeting to review it again, but I'm fine with that.
Okay, so I'll move that we accept his request for accommodations at time and a half.
Second. And snacks and insulin in a separate room is all the
correct.
Things?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion?
Who did the second?
I did.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would just advise Mr. Flores to contact the testing center too and let them know about the issue with the phone. I mean, if he's able to get an accommodation from them in regard to that, then, you know, better than having to do the pin prick on the finger, I'm sure. But just not something that we're able to necessarily approve from our end.
Mr. Flores, I would recommend also checking on the snack part as well.
Well, and the insulin, you know, it might need to be locked in his locker. I mean, there may be some things they may not be comfortable with the medications on the desk. So I think there's a lot to check for you.
Okay, I will look into that.
All right, so we have a motion and a second. And any further discussion? All right, Ms. Chepius, do you mind calling the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to approve the ADA accommodations request for Richard Flores. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thanks, Mr. Flores. Good luck on the test.
Thank you all.
Welcome. Next on the agenda is Erin Ann Miller. Is Ms. Miller on the phone?
Yes, I am.
I see you. Thank you. Ms. Miller has requested time and a half in a separate room. Are you okay answering questions from the board?
Yes, I am.
And if any time you feel like it's getting personal and you'd prefer to go into executive session to discuss your healthcare, let me know and we'll move into executive session for privacy.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Any questions for Ms. Miller regarding her request?
Yeah, Ms. Miller, can you just kind of take us through, just on a daily basis, how this condition affects you?
Oh, I think she froze. Uh-huh. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Oh. Yeah, okay. I apologize. Yeah, it's a lot. I think, well, through a daily basis, it depends on like the task that I'm doing. Obviously I'm studying a lot now. And so, I have to just for studying, I have to read through information. I have to read it through. I have to jot it down and I have to like, it just takes a lot longer time for me to, like review topics and, just process information. With like recall, just recalling information, it takes me a little bit slower. As I practice things over and over again, it obviously becomes like a little bit smoother. I'm here right now. I was able to get through PT school. So I've definitely achieved a point where like I've learned like certain study habits and things like that where I can be more efficient. But it definitely does like take me a little bit more time to do things. And that also goes with like planning certain things. Like I have to make sure, like if I have a list of things to do, I like jot it down. I have to like make lots of lists. I don't know if there's anything specific, that you'd like me to talk about.
Yeah, maybe, if you want to get into a little bit about, how this has affected you in your clinical rotations, any accommodations that you had.
Yeah.
Any tasks like going to the grocery store? Are there any accommodations that have to be made, you know, or anything that you have to use to be able to do those things?
Yeah, in my clinical rotations, I always kept a notebook with me. When like going over certain topics, I would always like jot down things that we discussed so that I could go back and make connections about what we talked about. I could obviously like process things in the moment where like we can discuss things there, but for me to kind of keep it into like long-term memory, I have to do a lot of repetitions to process it and to keep that memory there. I think like just connecting like information, like having it written down is something that's like really important for me to do. And that's what I've always done like throughout my clinical rotations. I always had a notebook with me. There are times where I would have a little bit more time with doing an evaluation with the patient. I'm always very thorough. I'm always very like thorough and like able to hit all those notes, but it definitely takes me like creating lists and being able to like put it in action. Grocery stores, I always have to make sure that I write down what I need to get because I'll forget things. In the grocery store kind of setting too, like it doesn't always look very like going to each part of the store. Like it'll kind of be sporadic. If I'm not really paying attention or if I get distracted or if someone calls me, then, it definitely takes a lot more time for me to complete those tasks as well.
Thank you.
So yeah, I guess my question is like, how much extra time would you get for an initial evaluation? You know, I feel like we ask our students, when we have them to carry a notebook with them so that they can write things down. And I don't feel like that is, a special thing. I think that we look to that for our students to be able to then, like you said, go back and process. So like for an initial evaluation for an orthopedic patient, what would you request for time?
Yeah, at the clinics I were at, if it was a 30-minute section, that was hard for me to do. So I'd get 45, kind of the time and a half. If it was an hour evaluation, then I had plenty of time to give a thorough, and like meaningful evaluation where I could also put some treatment in there too. I feel like that's my answer. They'd give me extra time. When I would write my notes, I would like make sure that I would have to be out of the like either wear my earplugs or go out into like a different section of the clinic so that I wasn't around chatter. I would have to that was something that I would communicate, even though I'm sure a lot of other students would do this too. But for me it was necessary. For documentation as well, they'd want to, you know, have it in at a certain amount of time. And so in those cases, it would take me a little bit longer for me to like synthesize my information and put it into writing. So I would take extra time to do that as well.
I think like Dr. Bustillo said, you know, that's not necessarily unusual for students who need extra time. I'm curious what a typical day looks like for you in the clinic. Were you there 8 hours? Were you there 10 or 11 hours because you were trying to get it all done? Like, what did your, how long were you in the clinic each day?
Yeah, I was, I would be there for a couple hours when I was in an inpatient rehab facility. I'd be there for a couple more hours to be able to, like write my notes. For my outpatient settings, I was able to take my laptop with me and work on my notes. So that was honestly the best thing. It was the best thing for me to be able to, like sit down and synthesize it in a quiet space where, there wasn't like a time limit and I could work on that. Yeah.
Okay. So am I hearing you say that you were able, like you were doing point of service documentation? So you were documenting while you were with the patient?
I would try to do that. I tried making that somewhat of a habit in my second rotation. For my last rotation, they didn't have any type of, like you couldn't document with the patient in front of you. With that, when I was working with a patient and trying to document, that was more for like follow-ups. And even during the eval sometimes, it would just be like very short jotted notes. I can't listen to someone say a subjective and then write it down, like process that enough to put it into words and like have a flowing sentence. I have to put like down like, pain, walk too much, and you know, a smaller thing. And then afterwards I can like synthesize and like put it into writing. It just takes like a little bit longer for me to like synthesize and put that all together.
Have you attempted to take the exam yet? You haven't taken it yet, have you?
I haven't. I've taken some practice tests. I was able, like for like the PEDE exam example, like I put time and a half because that's what I've been receiving at my university. And I took like an hour more, but I was trying to like be like on a steady pace. Through practice exams, through like therapy ed and whatnot, at least I can't find a way to be able to add that time and a half. And I take every single minute and I try to get to where I'm finishing each 50 by an hour. And I've noticed like I've missed questions because I missed certain pieces of the question and I was rushing. Especially if it's a really long dialogue, it's hard for me to take each set, like part of it and, see like what they're asking. And then be able to like put that in. I'm smart. I'm getting like around 70s, but then like those five questions where I didn't read it close enough or I was really rushing. It's affecting my ability to, like perform the best that I can.
And this is the hard part for us as a board, is we recognize that taking a test, a timed test, is super challenging for everyone, and that the stakes are high. And reading and comprehending and answering questions and getting some wrong is part of it. And so we have to determine whether or not you have a disability that impacts your whole life, not just test taking, so that we don't, you know what I mean, give you an unfair advantage of having more time to actually go back and review questions when someone else doesn't. Does that make sense? And so those are the things we have to consider as a board as we are hearing these applications and determining if it's truly a disability that affects your whole life, or if it's a test-taking challenge and would potentially give you an unfair advantage of longer time to take the test. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I definitely understand that. It's something that really does affect my life. I wish I could describe to you guys, and I tried being able to like really put that forth in my application for accommodations. It just takes me a little bit more time to process and understand things. I've always had reading issues like growing up. I was diagnosed with dyslexia when I was younger. I was always slower. I was doing like special reading clinics. I still am like, you know, it just takes me longer to do like reading in a book. I reread certain like sentences over and over again, and that happens in the exam too, where I'm trying to focus on it, but like nothing processes. And I have.
I think her internet froze again. Ms. Miller, we missed a little bit of what you were saying there toward the end. Your camera froze, so you said that you take time to process, and then we lost you.
Can you hear me okay now?
Mm-hmm. No.
Ms. Miller, it might be helpful to Ms. Miller, it might be helpful to turn your camera off to decrease the drag on your internet.
Okay.
Okay, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. But attention to movies. Like, it's hard for me to pay attention that whole time. And like, I can be like listening or reading and then nothing processes. Yeah, there can be some like disconnect where I just have to, it just takes me a little bit more. I keep saying that. but it does take me time to like read and focus on things. And it's always been something that I've struggled with.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. do any of the board members have any further questions for Ms. Miller? Okay, so we'll discuss now our thoughts. What are your thoughts about her request and the impact, you know, whether it's a disability that impacts her life or testing? Where are we at?
I think some of the examples that she provided were not applicable to the exam specifically. One of them, though, that caught my attention was a dialogue in the long, they're called stems, in terms of the questions that are created with exam. And I think that was something to consider. She said that she has had a long lifetime of having difficulty in having to reread. And then when I read the report, without going into all the specifics, but specifically the CEFI adult,
yep.
Some of the aspects on that, I think it does actually give merit to consider her impact specifically on her life, even though she might not be able to articulate it perfectly in this setting.
Sure. Thanks. So
towards agreement because of those scores. Breakdown in terms of organization, working memory, attention, all of those are way below the average. And so I think she was not able to articulate well until she started talking about the dialogue and having to read a case scenario.
Okay.
So for me, that is a little bit different than when we're looking at individuals that are requesting accommodation.
Thank you. Any further thoughts? Giovanni, what are your thoughts?
I was kind of struggling with it at first as well, and I'm glad Dr. Hike said what he said. I mean, I can completely understand where the accommodations would be necessary for her. I mean, even trying to articulate everything to us, like you could see the struggle there.
Yep.
Accommodations have been provided to her during her clinical rotation, which in a lot of cases, that's not very typical to give a student more time than the time slot that they have. But because of her disability, that's something that she was given. So I'm kind of leaning more toward that we would approve, or that I would, be okay with approving it.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the accommodations.
The request for time and a half in a separate room?
Yes.
Okay. And I'll second that for both.
Okay. So with a motion and a second, any further discussion around approving the request for ADA accommodation for the test?
I appreciate the discussion. I think that was, we see definitely some differences with this case than we have with some of the other ones. And so I'm comfortable with this motion.
Yeah. Great. Okay. If there's no other discussion, then Ms. Chepius, can you call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to approve the ADA accommodation request for Erin Ann Miller. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. That motion passes.
All right, Ms. Miller, good luck on the exam.
Thank you all.
Yeah, you're welcome. And then the last application we have for ADA accommodation is Mr. Joseph Mack. Mr. Mack, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Mack, are you comfortable answering questions from the board regarding your application?
Okay. Yeah.
And like I said in the past, if there's any time that you would prefer to discuss your request or situation in private, please let us know. And we will move into a private session. Okay, thanks. All right, so you've requested time and a half and a separate room. Can you tell us a little bit about your request and specifically how your disability affects your daily life?
Sure. Request is kind of, I've always kind of struggled with any kind of time situation or just pressure and concentrating on a certain thing. Every time I read something, even just like a book or I'm taking a question, find myself having to read it like multiple times, and I'm like, what the heck did I just read? And I've always struggled with this, but I never thought, or I thought maybe it could be something, maybe not. My parents always like shook it off. And as I kind of went through life, I kind of just like struggled and was like always at the end of like finishing exams, like to the last every second. Sometimes I've left like multiple questions blank, all the way from like, you know, grade school up. And then when like I'm not concentrating, I'll just get like the blank, like deer in the headlights stare, and that'll happen like multiple times, and then like I can't like grab my focus again, and I get like, feels like it goes from like concentration to anxiety back to concentration, and I just get caught up in this like snowball effect, and nothing has seemed to do it for me besides just taking longer. So like going throughout, I'd get too scared about like asking for it. So I would just, like in undergrad, I would go to the testing center, because they didn't like keep track of the time. So that made me feel like more comfortable. And I was probably given for like a chem exam. I don't know if the standard was like an hour. I probably took almost like 2 hours, but like no, there was no time because it was in a separate room and it was like quiet and there was no like shuffling around and there was nobody else. There was no time factor with it. I mean, I wasn't there all day, but I still finished it and there was still like some monitoring. As regards to like my life, I'm always like fidgeting, I'd say is a big one. I have trouble with retaining information when being talked to a lot. So if I'm, you know, just talking with someone, I've heard this my whole life, like I'm in like that's like a Joey thing or whatever, which kind of sucks because you know, I feel like I'm trying my hardest, but I inadvertently like am unable to keep my attention going. So I've struggled with that and just like day-to-day activities, kind of in everything I do pretty much. Like that's not just, I'm like just asking a question to like, not really trying to critical think, which just even puts even more pressure on me.
Mr. Mack, did you, so you've gotten through PT school. I'm curious. I need to ask what took you to the doctor in June of 2023 after you had pretty much completed all of PT school?
Yeah. So, I mean, I took the board exam the first time and I found myself doing exactly what I said. I literally like froze up the entire time. I think I got close, in my scoring, but I felt that like same, like I can't concentrate. I can't critical think. And then anytime there was a longer passage, like I probably reread it like multiple, at least 5 times. And then I still don't know what's going on. And then I'll like not get the basic stuff and go through it. And so I wanted to be an advocate for my health after PT school, because I think anytime during PT school, when I took, say, like my anatomy exams, they allotted, it went from like anatomy exam to like a lab portion. And it was probably like, you got, I think like 2 hours or 3 hours. I probably took like maybe 2 hours to do the anatomy exam part and then go to the lab, because I like my concentration, was so poor. But that's why I wanted to be an advocate for my health going forward after PT school and realizing that, you know, maybe something I do actually is wrong. And I wanted to talk to the doctor, like she felt confident that what I was saying made sense. And she agreed with me.
Thank you. Any other board members have questions for Mr. Mack?
Mr. Mack, can you speak a little bit onto your experience in your clinical rotations, how you
how you dealt with initial evaluations and listening to the patients, how long it would take you, any accommodations that you were given during your clinical rotations?
Sure. Probably in like the SNF setting, I would take a little bit longer, and I would, when I was doing my eval, you know, I felt like I was doing everything, and then I would have to take just a long, I probably was there from like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. because of the length of concentration afterwards for notes. I had to stay. I was there like all day, and it was quite exhausting. I probably took 12-hour days for however long my rotation was. In like an outpatient setting, initial eval, it was like, I probably just saw less because I took longer, and, but it wasn't like a, like if I had to like stay like locked in, and if I had trouble, like my CI would intervene a lot, and I was unable to like keep that method of focus for the longest period of time. So that just led to me honestly just taking really long in evals, and just having to like dice through things with my CI and make sure I hit all my avenues, which led to me carrying over and taking notes longer, and then the notes is what took me probably the longest.
For in your outpatient setting, what was the eval block of time that was allotted?
Whatever the standard, we just did the hour. I mean, I've definitely went over an hour every time, but.
Okay, so they typically would block off an hour for the eval?
Yeah.
Okay, and then about how far over were you going?
15 minutes, probably.
15 minutes over. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Mack, in terms of, I'm an educator. In terms of PT school, if you just received a diagnosis this month, did you have accommodations through PT school?
So, again, I didn't get anything officially. I requested from my Dr. Zook, my like the head of the PT program.
Sure,
and she, for like anatomy things, I got to go in a separate room. I'm not sure if there was extra time, but I talked to her about it a couple times, and that's what she's giving me. But there was nothing like official.
What about your other exams? Lots of exams in PT school outside of anatomy. So what about your other exams? Neuro, ortho, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, just about all of them were short exams. Nothing extended over like 75 questions, and I was able to like retain my concentration. I took all the time I had, all the way up until the end. And if it was to a certain point, I was able to do it. But once it got like over the past 100 questions, like I either didn't finish sometimes, or I just started filling in bubbles because I couldn't get there.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Mack on the board? Thank you. All right, so we'll go into a little discussion. This is a hard one for me. I think it's a test-taking thing, and it's just, I'm just having a hard time seeing how it impacts his whole life versus timed test-taking, which is what this is. I hear him that he took the exam and he didn't pass. He sounds like he got close. That's not necessarily an unusual situation for a lot of students. But I am not comfortable with approving an accommodation for a disability for the exam, but open to discussion.
I tend to be in agreement with you. I don't see this as a, I don't want to say life altering, but something that affects, at least from what he's explained to us, I'm not seeing where it affects him outside of the test taking realm. So yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that.
I think that each case has an individual case, and when we look at the different cases for individuals that are applying for accommodations, I'm very sensitive to this. My son has a disability. Mm-hmm. But in the same regards, when I look at one case versus another in comparison, there's not enough evidence here such as impacting his daily life.
Thanks, Dr. Hake.
And I would agree with everyone. And so with that discussion, my motion is to deny the request for ADA accommodations for this exam.
Second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Okay. So we have a motion and a second to deny the request for ADA accommodation. Judy, you want to call the vote, please?
Yes, it's been moved and seconded to deny the ADA accommodations request for Joseph Mack. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Mr. Mack, good luck on the exam when you take it again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let the record show there are no items for 4B or 4C1 and 2. C1 and 2. 4C, cases recommended for termination of board order. Oh, are we on the consent agenda at that point?
You skipped a page, Kelly.
I did skip a page.
If you're looking at a paper one.
Sure did. Oh, I have it stapled backwards. Thanks. For C, D, or E. So we're now at number 5, consent agenda. Board members, taking a look at all of the items on the consent agenda, are there any cases or items that you would like to have pulled out for further discussion? I have none. I've read all of the information and appreciate all the documents to review. So hearing none, I'm going to make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Great. Okay. So motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Judy, when you get a chance, please call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda consisting of items in 5A, 5B, and 5C. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Great. Thank you. All right. There are no items for agenda 6, 7, or 8. So that takes us to agenda
item. We need 5B, Kelly.
Consent agenda.
Yeah, we voted to approve it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had a correction, but that's fine.
You're okay. Yeah. So I was like, wait, did I miss it? No. So we're good. We're ready to move on to 9.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Alrighty, so we're now at complaints and other disciplinary matters. We have several initial reviews to discuss, so I'd like to take a minute to just review what an initial review is and how it's approached. So I've got a kind of a script to read for all of those who are present who are not typically at the board meeting. So this is the time and place scheduled for the board's initial review of complaints. We have 8 cases for the board to consider today. The matters will be heard by the board pursuant to its authority under ARS 32-2045. For everyone's benefit, I'll provide a brief summary of how the board conducts initial reviews. The summary applies to all of the cases that we will hear today, and I won't repeat this for each case. The first thing we'll do is introduce each other. My name is Dr. Kelly King, and I'm the board president. I'll now ask the other board members to introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Karen Bustillo, professional member, board vice president.
Giovanni Leone, professional member, secretary.
John Hike, professional member.
And I'm Joshua Barton, public member.
Great, thank you. For those participating in the initial review, please be aware that we have read all of the materials submitted. If at any time it's necessary to refer to a patient, please only use the initials. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary from the investigative report from our staff. Once the staff has completed the summary, the board will ask the complainant, if they're present or if there is one, if they wish to address the board. And then the board will ask the professional, and if they are present and have an attorney with them, if they would like to do the same. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time to repeat information that the board has already received. You will be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present the investigative report, about 5 minutes or so, whichever is greater. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or the place for the complainant and the professional to address each other. The board has a civility policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive conduct. Those violating the policy after being given an opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberation. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking non-disciplinary action, such as issuing an advisory letter or an order for continuing education, offering the professional a consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, or remanding the matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded, and accordingly, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speak at a time. And lastly, as a reminder to us as the board, this is not an informal hearing. If you have a few questions that will help you better understand the case and take action to potentially resolve the case through dismissal, non-disciplinary, or consent agreement, please feel free to ask them. However, if you have a number of substantive questions or need additional investigation information, it may be more appropriate to move this case to an informal hearing. Great.
So, Dr. King. Yes. Before the first case is called, let's stop and restart the recording, please.
Excellent. Thank you.
One moment. I'm stopping the recording at 9:28.